Today on Raise Your Vibe and Heal, I'm honored to welcome a truly extraordinary guest, Carla Kaufman Sloan. Carla is an Emmy-winning writer and former television producer with an incredible three-decade career shaping some of the most watched shows on network TV. But beyond her professional success, it's Carla's heart, resilience, and deep spiritual connection that make her story so powerful. After facing the unimaginable loss of her young son, Carla and her husband turned their grief into purpose, founding Caleb and Calder Sloan's awesome foundation to help children and families in need. Her journey through profound sorrow has not only led to healing, but also to service. Carla is now a gifted and verified medium who's offered comfort and connection to hundreds of people seeking to hear from their loved ones in spirit. She brings with her not only a wealth of creative experience, but also a deeply compassionate voice in the world of grief healing and spiritual guidance. Get ready to be inspired, moved, and uplifted by Carla's incredible story.
Wow, that was so beautiful. I'm just going to go. Bye.
Welcome to the podcast, Carla. Welcome back to the podcast, Carla. I am so happy to have you here today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Lisa, it's always a pleasure to see you. And I've been the benefactory of several of your healing sessions. So I have to say, I was thinking about that today. I'm like, it's so beautiful and moving when you connect with someone and you can share different points of view. Yes. And I feel like healing, like we think of healing as like, oh, I had a healing session, now I'm healed. But I think people should think of it more like massage. Like you do that frequently as a tune-up to keep your body in shape and feeling good. So I just love that I'm able to connect with you periodically and get that tune-up.
Oh, thank you. And this would not have been possible if we had not connected through Camille Dan's journey of bringing Gathering at the Doorway together. I've had a couple of guests on here recently that I've met because of that work. And it's just amazing how spirit brings us together, isn't it?
Yes, I completely agree. I was thinking about Camille this morning because I knew I was going to see you. And it is true that we're all connected now in different ways. It's beautiful.
It really, really is. So, Carla, could you please walk us through a little bit of your journey and take us back to the moment when your life shifted after the loss of your son? What helped you, you know, survive those early days?
Sure. Well, it was so interesting because, as you said, I had a completely different life. I was in television. My husband and I were running a company. We had two little boys. We were going 100 miles an hour. Things were happening, going. And then Calder died in a tragic accident in our backyard. And it is such a paradigm shift to go from walking a path where you think you just are having it all figured out. You have your life, it's running, everything's good. You have these adorable boys. And then to have something like that happen just completely changes your point of view.
I am so sorry. You, as a mom, I can only imagine what that, every time I have a guest on here who speaks about their child on the other side, I can only imagine what that must feel like. I just want to extend that to you. I just have so much love in my heart for you and for those who have gone through this process.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Lisa. Yes, I know you have also had Rosanna on recently.
Yes.
And she's also part of Helping Parents Heal, which is a huge organization for parents like us who've lost children. But I'll get to that in a minute because I just want to go back to in the beginning of the grief process, I was untethered. Like I just wasn't sure how to manage it, what I was gonna do. I honestly didn't wanna stay here. I feel like suicidal ideation happens for a lot of parents, not all parents, but I was so in shock and disbelief that this could happen to me that I was just like, okay, well, I don't know what the message is here, so I think I'll just exit. But I also had a younger son, and my husband, who's so supportive, but everybody grieves in completely different ways. And he and I certainly grieved in different ways. And then slowly things started happening to me, and I like to say for me, that changed my point of view, where I started getting these little signs, which I didn't know what that meant or what a sign was back then, but things would just happen. Like I'd be sitting somewhere and a dragonfly would land on me. Or I'd be in my car and a tiny baby dragonfly would be in the car with me and then kind of move around and land on the steering wheel. And I would just have this sense of the energy changing around me, like something was happening, but I was too deep in my grief to experience what that could possibly mean. So being a part of Helping Parents Heal is this group of people who believe that our children can communicate with us, but I had not gotten to that place yet. I didn't know those people existed. And one day my husband came home from work because we still have our production company, but at that time it was like in full swing. We had shows going on. We had a development producer. And he came home and told me he had had a reading with a medium. And I was like,
what did you think? I was like, did you even know what a medium was by that point? Or was that?
I actually knew what mediums were, but not because I ever thought of going to one or I had ever experienced one, but I worked in Los Angeles and mediums were regulars on daytime television. There were TV shows about mediums. John Edwards had a show. James Von Prague had a show. There was that show with Patricia Arquette that was fictionalized, but it was about a medium. Mm-hmm. So I knew what they were, but for him to come home and say, I had a reading with a medium, just puzzled me. And so he said, luckily it's recorded. Would you like to listen to it? And that started my questioning. That kind of opened up my head.
So I just want to step back just a little bit.
Sure.
Had you, prior to Calder's transition, had you ever been to a psychic? It sounds like you had never been to a medium. Was this something that you were already embracing? The thought of mediumship and psychic and intuition. Where would you say your belief system was prior to his transition?
I would say I never had a need for it, so I never thought about it. I worked in LA, so people went to psychics. I knew, sure. I had friends who went to psychics. I had a friend who read tarot cards, and I just thought that was like a fun game we played when we went over to his house. It was cool, but I didn't give it any greater meaning. I was just like, oh, that's interesting. You got the rods card. Like, it just didn't even. Like, now I'm like, if you pull out your deck of cards, Lisa, I'm like, okay, I'm on pins and needles. I can't wait to hear what's going to come
Okay. So prior to his transition, you would have a successful career, happy family life. Things are going from the world looking in. You've got it all. You've got it made. And then this tragic accident happens. And so now your husband says, Chris, right? Is it Chris?
Yes, Chris.
Chris says to you, I went and saw a medium. And would you like to listen to the recording? What happened after that?
Right. Oh, actually, I should say he did it over the phone, which also I thought, you did it over the phone. Like,
how is that possible?
So he played the recording for me and I was in disbelief, but everything, the medium's name was AJ Barrera. He's still a very well-known medium. And I just thought, it all sounds good, but how can I believe this? Like, he was on the phone, But he had information, like a good medium does, that wasn't published anywhere. It hadn't been in the news. Our story was in the news a lot at that time because it was such a tragic, shocking story of a child being electrocuted in our swimming pool. It was our son electrocuted in our swimming pool. So it was all over the news. And when he had the reading, this medium, AJ, brought through information that he couldn't have known. He couldn't have seen on the news. He couldn't have read in a newspaper. So I was like, this is amazing. And it touched me. And it kind of made me, like I said, it opened up my mind a little bit. And then at the end of the reading, my husband had gone. You could hear him during the reading go from, what are we doing? What should I say? Can you speak up? I don't, it was kind of like that too. By the end of the reading, my husband's like, oh, he said something else. Oh, that means this. And he would, you could just hear that he had turned from someone who didn't understand to a believer that he was talking to our son. So at the end of the reading, my husband, who's so sweet, was like, oh, well, can you do this for my wife too? I bet she's going to want a reading. And AJ, the medium, said, well, why don't you play this for her? I'm sure he meant, like, see if she's even interested. Like, we don't want to give a reading to someone who's not open to it. Mm-hmm. But in my very grief-stricken mind, I took it as a challenge. Like, oh, he doesn't want to give me a reading? Well, I'll show him. I actually tracked him down, and I had not left our 3-block radius in probably 4 months. And I booked a ticket to fly to Virginia Beach to see him and see if all of this was real. So that is an entire crazy story that I've written up in a book that I just finished. And that's when I went undercover as a medium, which is ridiculous. But, you know, there's a lot of skeptics out there. I hear this story often. There's someone who has an unbelievable experience and then they have to understand it. And while I'm not someone, I didn't necessarily have to understand the science behind it. I just wanted to have the personal experience. So let's just say I did have the personal experience, and mm-hmm. that led me to realize that there was a bigger universe than I could have ever imagined. And Calder was still a part of it.
So this mediumship event that you went to in Virginia Beach, this was 3 or 4 months after his transition?
Yes.
Okay. So then you went undercover as a medium to participate in this mediumship training experience. Okay. So when you were sitting there in that environment, were you believing what was happening around you, or were you still full of questions?
I was full of questions, and I had made it difficult on myself because I was using a false name. Okay. So people were trying to talk to me, and I was like, who are they talking to? Like, the whole thing is out of a sitcom. Like, it was so crazy. And I was unhinged still because I was in early grief. And so I was just acting like, I don't know, I just didn't really have full control over like my thought process. But so I did get there, and I was really comforted by the fact that these were all people who seemed to be genuine, spiritual people who they opened the evening with a meditation. They gave thanks to the universe. They all had like very different points of view, but they all believed in the same thing, that we could communicate with our loved ones who were no longer in their bodies. And I was so relieved by that and excited. But then all I wanted was a reading then from Calder, because that's what I had come from. I mean, for. Mm-hmm. It was a weekend long event. So it's very interesting the way spirit does things, because during the weekend, I got a full reading directed at me from another medium who was working with AJ. And she kept giving me this information about this woman who was a coworker who had crossed, and we used to go out all the time, and we would drink, and we would go shopping. And she was giving me all this information. And then she was like, and she's saying she likes your hair because you lightened your hair. And I thought, I did lighten my hair, but I have no idea who this person is.
Okay.
And then I went to bed that night, like ready to pack my bags and leave. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and I knew exactly who it was. It was one of my dear friends who had transitioned, but I wasn't thinking of her. I just wanted my son. I wanted my son. And by the way, this was great training for me, who would know a decade later, I would need this lesson to actually be a medium and realize people come with an expectation or a need, but they may not, they may get different information. So I truly believe my girlfriend Sultan came through to be like my realization moment. She was like, so then when I woke up and realized who it was and went over the information, it was all accurate. I knew exactly who it was. I had to apologize to that medium the next day because I kept saying, I don't know who you're talking about. And she took it in stride, like, because she was experienced. She knew that happened. And she was happy I knew who it was now because it was good for me to know that. But then I was also like, oh no, does this mean I wasted my one chip and now I'm not going to get my reading from my son? So the weekend went on. And literally, they were wrapping up the weekend and they were going to end the whole thing. And I hadn't gotten the message. And I was sitting there screaming in my head. You know how we do, like, come on, how could this have happened?
Where are you?
Yes. Which, by the way, it could have been that I left and hadn't gotten a reading then, but I still would have known it was real. But then right as everybody was getting up from their seats, AJ said, hang on, hang on. There's someone here and it's a younger spirit. I know because he's pulling on my pant leg. He is pulling on my pant leg to let me know he's under 10 years old. And then he proceeded to give me a reading.
Getting chills.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
It was so beautiful.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting full-blown chills with this story. That is just, whoa, wow.
It was. And you know what's so funny? I don't think anyone even, except for the fact that I completely fell apart and disrupted the entire weekend at that point because I was hysterically crying. But you know, people, you don't know when you're a medium and you're delivering really powerful information. You're just like the transmitter of the information. So it was so impactful for me. I'm forever grateful to AJ Barrera. He's amazing. And that kind of pushed me out of the nest of thinking that there was nothing else and that I would never communicate with my son again.
Surrounding the ethics of mediumship. Now, we're going to dive into your story a little bit farther, but I do want to highlight a little bit with your experience as a medium. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that if you have a message to share, and I'm not saying you specifically, but a person mm-hmm. who is a medium and they're walking along the street and all of a sudden they get a very clear message from spirit that they're supposed to deliver that message in that moment. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it is a huge, people talk about this often. I think that the spirit world is smart enough to know when and where you should deliver a message, and they really will push you. So I did hear this story. I don't know that you need to be walking up and down the grocery aisles being like, hey, your grandpa's here. Hey, your mother's here. Like, that's not what I think is going on.
Okay.
I think it will come in a moment of need. For example, I know that I have a friend, Rosie Sapiro, who's an amazing medium and healer, and she has gotten messages for people in public places, and she will share that message if she's if she feels like it's going to help that person. For example, if someone's feeling suicidal, if someone's really deeply in the throes of grief, and she will get that pull to then give that message. And it will completely turn around that person's life right then and there. And it's important in that moment. So okay. Like all ethics, it's a situation by situation kind of thing. I personally have never been in that situation because I started mediumship during COVID. And so I do a lot of my stuff right here in my little studio garage and people come to my house, but I haven't been out on the streets delivering messages yet. Okay.
Yet. All right. So thank you for answering that. Okay. So now you attended this mediumship workshop. What happened next after that?
Well, so after that, I just went home. Like I always say the door was opened, but it was still my first year of grief. And I will say sudden loss, child loss, coupled together, it'll just, even like any loss, it just throws you. And I do believe the first year is a really hard year of firsts. And I kind of just tucked it away. But I did start to notice signs, more and more signs. Dragonflies, ladybugs. We started our foundation about a year after Calder died. And the very first event we had, ladybugs landed on three of us there. Holy. Like one of my closest friends on me. Like, I don't know. I live in Miami. I'm not walking around and there are ladybugs landing on me. So it was a very big sign that he was there with us. And as I kept reading, I really voraciously read every book I could get my hands on. And then one of my girlfriends introduced me to the book by Laura Lynn Jackson, The Light Between Us. And that was really interesting because the beginning of that book, she talks about communicating with children for their parents. And that, I was like, oh my goodness, I want that. I want her. She seems like the best. She talks to all these kids and their parents. She worked for the Forever Family Foundation at the time, or she still does. She does like benefits for them. And I was just mesmerized by that. And as luck would have it, well, I don't know if it's luck, actually, now that I think about it.
Is it ever really luck?
Is it ever luck? I don't know why I even say that anymore. The universe,
it's habit.
Right? It is habit.
I get it.
The universe and Calder arranged for me to meet her because a year later, I was sitting at her kitchen table getting a reading, and it was life-changing. It was such a clear reading from Calder. There's this story in the book Signs that if you've read the book Signs, the story is about the deer. So Calder said to her in the reading, I'm going to send her a deer for her to have a moment with. And Laura was kind of like, I'm the messenger of this. He's saying he's going to send you a deer. And of the like hour long reading, we were both like, okay. Like, it wasn't the moment I was crying or anything, but he just very offhandedly was like, so you're going to meet a deer. And we went on with a reading, and there were so many profound pieces of information.
So may I just interject a little bit here? I need to interject something.
Please.
Over Christmas, right before Christmas break, I was on a walk. And I know you know this story, but I'm going to share this with the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you who follow me on my social media, I have a little video clip on all the social media with this encounter. I was on a walk, and this little bird for about 5 minutes, I had a beautiful spiritual encounter with this bird. It was brushing up against my arm. It was about 6 inches away from my body, so I could actually almost touch it. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience that logic could not explain. So I shared this story with my son, who lives in Minnesota. And he came to visit and said, we're talking about this incredible story. And he said, well, Mom, he said, there's this story that I was telling you about your friend. And I said, what friend are you talking about? And he says, there was this podcast and your friend is in this book. And we were talking about signs. And in that book, you had talked about the deer. And I honestly, I didn't know who this medium was. There's a lot of fabulous mediums. It's just not, I didn't know who she was, but right. apparently she's very well known because she was on the, was it the Jay Shetty podcast at the time? Mm-hmm. And he happened, which is not a podcast he normally listens to. He happened to listen to this woman, Laura Lynn Jackson, speaking. And he said he was guided to get the book. And he, I said, how did you know that this was my friend and your story? And he said, because I remember the story of Calder and the accident, because I'm an electrician, I remembered your story. And then we were talking about your deer signs. And then I got guided to reach out to you and tell you about this bird experience. And you said, is there yellow on this bird? And there absolutely was. There was this yellow, and it's not a common bird that's around here. Now, I don't think I've even seen it since. But it was just an example of how our two boys connected, Calder in spirit, my son, and happening to hear. So when you talk about these experiences of just happened to have a reading with, just happened to listen to a podcast, that's really how spirit works, right? It's just, we're following these little breadcrumbs, and then we can reflect and go, oh my gosh. So I just love the way Calder brought our two boys together so that you and I could communicate. And here you are talking about this beautiful story.
Oh my gosh, Lisa, I don't remember you telling, I mean, I remember the bird part of that story, but I must have forgotten your son was an electrician somewhere along the line.
I may not have even told you he was an electrician. Yes. And in fact, he just became a journeyman. He just passed his big test right after that experience. But what's really cool is the way spirit will communicate. Because some people will say, well, Calder doesn't know my son, Luke. How the heck would that happen? It does, because we're all connected. And spirit is just amazing. Just amazing. So you're in this book, you have this experience, and you're talking about this deer, right?
First of all, Luke, that's genius that you connected all that.
He's amazing.
I love that everyone is connected. Actually, I was going to move on from that. People can read the story of the deer in Signs, and they can also read it in my upcoming book, which we'll talk about later. But I will say, and I just did it myself. Oh, as luck would have it. Oh, that's a coincidence. I really try not to use those phrases anymore, because anytime you think that's a coincidence, you really need to stop and take note of what is going on, because it's so much bigger than that. Like the fact that we've been connected now for years through Camille's bringing us together, through Luke hearing that podcast randomly. And then I will tell you, now that I belong to Helping Parents Heal, I have had so many of these experiences. So here's one of them. So when you lose a child, so it's been over a decade, and Chris and I immediately started a foundation, or it felt like immediately, it was probably a year. So we were out in the world a lot, talking about Calder, keeping his name present. That was our big goal. So people in the community saw us as these people who were in grief, but were able to talk about it and be out there. So I started to be the person people would say, oh, so-and-so lost their child, they should call Carla. So this happened last year, where this family in my community lost their son to an inoperable brain tumor. Like three people asked me, would you ever talk to her? And I said, of course I would talk to her. I wasn't telling people I was a medium. Like, I'm such a new out there medium. This was like a year and a half ago. I was still not telling people. And they were like, oh, she would really love to talk to you. She's a meditation teacher. She's really a wonderful person. I feel like you guys would get along. So this happened three times. And then one day she emailed me and she said, hi, I'd love to grab a coffee or something. And I don't know what came over me, but I said, why don't we meet on Zoom? And she's in very early grief. She was like, sure. And so we get on Zoom, and I'm like, okay, so just so you know, I'm a medium and I connect people with their loved ones. She's like, I know what a medium is. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is how I work. let's see if your son's here. And let me tell you, she was in shock that she was getting a reading, and her son came in immediately. He was right there talking to her, giving her evidence through me, telling her all these things. And it was such an impactful reading for both of us because he taught us both things. Like, she accepted that he was still there. But when you're in that early grief, it's so amazing to actually get the connection and the message. And we still laugh about this to this day because she's very steeped in the Eastern yogic meditation traditions. And I said, he's doing this thing. I don't know what he's doing. He's going like this, and then he's putting his forehead all the way to the ground, and he's putting his hands down. And I'm like, I've been to yoga, so I know what namaste is, but it's not that. And she's like, oh. And afterwards, we talked about it. And what it is it's an extreme action of reverence called Namaha. And he was giving that to his mother as saying, like, you are my guru. It chokes me up still. It was so beautiful.
A message.
It was so beautiful. And he was a dynamic, amazing kid. Interestingly enough, he crossed when he was 18 and Calder just turned 18. So it's almost like now they're friends also on the other side. And when we talk about this connection, once she was like, okay, we need to start. She went to the Helping Parents Heal conference. I think they have them every 2 years. I couldn't make it. And she came back and she's like, okay, we need to start a Helping Parents Heal affiliate grief group immediately.
What? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, you're in a position to, you're further along on your grief journey, and you're now in a position to help those that are in their earlier stages. I love the power of three too, that you got the message three times, then she gets, you got the email. So three different people saying, or three different messages saying, you need to start this or connect with this woman.
Right.
And now here you are starting this, you started the Helping Parents Heal. And we talked about Helping Parents Heal with Roseanne Norris when she was here last, a nonprofit organization, chapters all around international, right? It's an international organization.
Yeah.
And what she had mentioned is that it's unlike a typical grief support group and that parents are shining light parents. How were you guided to on your healing journey? So you met with a medium, you started this fabulous foundation.
You know, grief is such a personal thing, and there are grief groups. There's Compassionate Friends in Miami. They have the Children's Bereavement Center. There are all these really helpful grief groups. But for whatever, and I had my younger son, Caleb, and I was concerned about him getting grief counseling because how confusing is it to a five-year-old that one minute you're playing with your brother and the next minute, you know, he's gone. Right. So that was really hard for him to process and confusing. And I could not get the right fit for whatever reason. It just happens. You just have to keep looking until you find it. So I opted for one-on-one grief counseling for him. And until I went to the Forever Family Foundation, I really couldn't get a handle on grief exactly. And then now that I'm in Helping Parents Heal, it just feels like the perfect fit for me because I believe in a bigger connection. I believe that our children are still here. I believe we can still communicate with them. And so some people don't feel that way, and this wouldn't be the right fit for them. But luckily, as it turns out, here in Miami, we started a group, and there are parents who feel the same way. They've joined us. We are growing. Not that that's, I mean, it just is helpful to have more people to share their stories. And the most interesting thing is we all shared in one of the meetings what our different signs are from our children. And do you know now we get each other signs?
That's
so cool. Like, the woman I was telling you about, Catherine, who I run the group with, her son Austin's sign is an octopus.
Okay.
Which is so interesting. And so, sure enough, I mean, he's very, I feel like because I did a reading for her, he's so present with me. He's like, octopus here, octopus there. I'm like, octopus, octopus, octopus. And it's just so beautiful that we can then text each other and say, Austin says hi, or another mom saw a truck with a big octopus on it and she sent the message to the group. And it's just a special way to know that we're all connected on a larger platform.
That's cool. Do you have any personal signs that, well, we have some pictures here of some different messages and signs that you've received. Would you like to share, that we can share with the listeners?
Yes. Well, I have a, I always laugh because I have like a catalog of signs with Calder, but recently I get hearts a lot. And I feel like it's such a huge message. Oh, this is a great one. So I also find coins a lot. So coins are pretty easy for the spirit world to manipulate, but also they can drop a thought in your head or just direct your attention. Suzanne Giesman calls it getting snagged. Like, okay, all of a sudden you'll be like, look at the sidewalk. Oh, there's a penny there. Now I'll pick up the penny. Everyone's like, find a penny all day long, you'll have good luck.
But I want to say I actually clicked on the heart picture and it's highlighted, but this one is the one that showed up. So apparently it's like, no, Mom, you need to talk about this one first.
You need to talk about this. Everyone gets hearts. Mom, everyone gets hearts. It's true. By the way, I do believe everyone can see hearts. Like, once you like say I'm open to the love of the universe, oh, there's one, that you will notice the world is littered with hearts, which makes me think the world is littered with love. And we really need to focus on that, especially in trying times. I'll get it in the funniest. Look, here I was having cereal. I was like, oh, hi. And, you know, it didn't hurt that he loved this kind of cereal. So that was also a fun little sign. But I get hearts all the time. And then I tell friends, and then my friends send me hearts. So I have a second Instagram page called The Heart Lady, where you'll just see, I'll get hearts all the time. And I'll post them on there. And it's so loving. And it's so sweet. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I will not get through a bad day without a friend of mine texting me a heart. Like, it's not that I have a bad day every day. All right. So let me tell you this exciting story. So do you mind flipping back to the 2004 penny?
Okay. Hold on. There we go.
Okay. So I do get a lot of signs. And in fact, my life has been so amazing and magical since I opened up to this world of studying mediumship, doing the grief group. I was like, I am going to write a book. So I started writing a book about all the amazing things that have happened. And it has taken me years. And I finished it and it's going out there. So I'm like, okay, I was having one of those days. We all have them, the other day where I was like, what am I doing? Why has it taken me so long? I've known tons of people who've written a book and like zippity zap, and now they're out there. They put their book out there and it's all going well. Why is it taking me so long? Should I be doing this? I was just, you know, in a mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my hands up and I said, okay. And also Laura in her book says, if you want a sign, ask for it. Ask for a specific sign. Austin's mom asked for a rainbow octopus and she got it. So I was like, if I'm on the right track and I've done all this work and now I'm a medium and I've written this book, I want you to put a $100 bill on the sidewalk in front of me. Like, that's, and then I kind of laughed at myself. I'm like, that's bold. I wasn't so bold. I was like, put a winning lottery ticket, but I was like, a $100 bill. So I go into my, I was probably in a bad mood because I was also going into the periodontist office. So I go in, I have my appointment, I come out, I look on the sidewalk, and there's this penny. And I was like, okay, ha, ha, ha. Ask for a $100 bill, be grateful for a penny. I was like, I will be grateful. Thank you for at least answering my call. But I have a second step. Whenever I find a coin, I go to this website called Joanne Scribe Angel Numbers.
Joanne, you said Joanne Scribe Angel Numbers?
Yes. Joanne's Sacred Scribe Angel Numbers.
Okay.
And I will, then I'll put the year into the angel numbers, and I'll look up the angel number for an additional message other than, okay, we answered you, here's your penny. But I had asked for a $100 bill. So I went on the angel numbers website, and I looked up 2004, and it says they all start a little bit similarly because they're giving you the numerology of what 2004 means. And it says, angel number 2004 brings a request from your angels to stay patient a little longer.
Oh my God, you can't make this up. I know. Spirit, I swear to God, I say this all the time. Spirit has a sense of humor because they're dealing with us. They have to never lose your sense of humor.
Never. I mean, humor is so important, right?
Yes.
So stay patient a little longer. Here, this is me. Like, come on.
Come on, hurry up.
Hurry up. So it says details are being worked out behind the scenes and are not quite ready just yet.
Oh my gosh.
Once all falls into place in divine right time, you will find your prayers answered and solutions found. The hard work, will, and effort you have put in will reap abundance and you will be rewarded for good work well done. Maintain faith and trust and a positive attitude, which I thought was very nice. Wait, listen to this. The whole thing. Like, I've done this a million times. Nothing has ever been as accurate as this. Like, calm down, little girl. Here we go. Oh my God. This says angel number 2004 is to continue on your present path with passion and enthusiasm. Believe in yourself and your inner talents and abilities in order to find success and achieve your aspirations. Your angels remind you that you have learned a great deal from your life experiences and relationships. And now is the time to pass this learned knowledge and wisdom on to others. Know that all is going right in your divine plan in your life.
You can't make that up.
I have never had such a clear message. So I was perfectly happy with that. I was like, okay, I didn't get my $100 bill. I really wanted the message about the book. I wanted to know, am I a good medium? Am I doing the right thing? Should I put this very personal grief journey and spiritual journey out there into the world? And I would say I got the answer.
Yes, I would say absolutely 100%. And I love the creativity that spirit uses. It wasn't exactly what you were expecting, but here's the thing. You are open and you are grateful. You're in a state of gratitude and appreciation. And so here's this penny. And you picked it up, you knew to pick it up, and you were guided to go to that website and look at the message. Because many of us would go, oh, there's a penny, meh, whatever. But you were in a state of appreciation. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Nope. I'll also say that The word patience was used in that blurb many times, which even as someone who meditates almost daily now, I was like, yeah, patience, not great at it. This has taken a really long time. So then I didn't really think of it again, except it gave me such comfort. And I went back to like running carpool, doing all the stuff I needed to do, doing my meetings and clients when I needed to, and finishing my book. And then 2 weeks later, I go to pick up my glasses that had been fixed, and I look at the sidewalk. And what do you think I saw there? This. Folded just like this on the sidewalk. A $100 bill.
Oh my gosh. And
I was like, I had kind of put it out of my mind. So I looked at it and then I looked up and down the sidewalk, but I was alone walking into this store, and I picked it up and I unfolded it. And I was like, this is a real upside down $100 bill.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Wow.
That's, that is just, wow, that is nuts. That is just nuts.
On my desk.
Well, it is, it's one of those signs. It's a memory of your belief system. You asked and you received the message, and you received it in a beautiful penny and the 2004, and then you got the actual $100 bill. Some may say, I've heard some people, I think even Suzanne Giesman, who I know you've trained with as well, I believe she has also said that spirit will let you know, like they'll decide, okay, Carla's going to go, she's going to see this $100 bill. It's going to be in her path. We'll drop that thought into her and she'll say, give me a $100 bill. And you're on the wavelength of spirit, right? So do you think that was what happened? Like they coordinated that? Or do you think it was, my intention is a $100 bill and spirit just said, okay, here's the $100 bill. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel
doesn't
like,
matter.
I don't know, but I will tell you, I do feel like they do know, like they can see out to us because we have free will. They can only see, like they can see the possibility.
Yes.
Of the past.
Yes, but I agree with that.
I do feel like, yeah, they knew I was gonna come across a $100 bill and probably help me come to that declaration, because I've never asked for $100 in my life. I just don't. I'm so happy. I often do ask for, please give me a sign today. And you know, I'm good with coins, but if it's a like whatever it is, I'm good. I'm down. Like a feather, I will also be happy with. You know how it is.
Yes, I do.
Different signs for different feelings and whatever. So, but that was the most remarkable. Now, I told friends about this, and they like to say, oh, it was just a coincidence. Oh, it was a coincidence. I found $100.
I have never.
You found $100.
Never. Maybe a dollar, maybe $5. I thought I won the lottery. I was in college, and there was a $5 bill when I really needed a $5 bill. But a $100 bill? No. Who carries? Not too many people carry, not too many people carry cash anymore, but let alone a $100 bill.
Right?
No. That's absolutely. And that's the thing is that when we dismiss the magic of what is possible, we lose sight of the miracles. We lose sight of just the wonderment that can be all around us. And that's part of this human experience, is us being able to recognize these signs, to embrace and understanding. It really is just a sign of, Carla, you are so loved. And we know that you are frustrated. We get it. We know you are frustrated. We know you have your timetable. And not everything is quite in place, and you'll understand why somewhere down the road. But we are with you. We love you. Have patience, which, by the way, thank you for that message, because that's a message I could always use. But it is just a beautiful way for us to remember that we are so loved. And it is just to see those miracles, to feel that beauty is just, it really does affect your life. I have the same thing with birds, an eagle that never I mean, I same thing. I was on a walk. I was having a very frustrating day. And I just like, give me a big, huge sign, a sign I can't possibly miss that I'm on the right path, right? And this bald eagle came across the lake, lands in the tree directly by where I was. I went over there and he called. And I got to spend a few minutes with this bald eagle, and then it chirped him, I mean, and then it took off. So it's just like, that is not an everyday occurrence. So seeing a $100 bill, experiencing some of the other signs, like feathers are a big one. Birds for me are big ones. Deer, I don't see as many deer where I live now in North Carolina that I did in Minnesota. So whenever deer come out, it's always, always for me, a very impactful sign. And then I usually send it to you or you see it on social media and you're like, oh my gosh. So in fact, well, you brought a deer picture, didn't you?
I did, but I'm going to tell you this, Lisa. So That same week when I was really frustrated, we'll have to look up the date, but I was like, oh, I got a call for something big and then something positive happened. And then Calder was like, I got deer signs every day for a week, culminating in you posting a walk in the morning with deer.
Yeah.
And it was a whole family of deer that you were with that day. And I thought, this is how connected we all are. It's amazing. It was so exciting.
That's right. That's right, because that wasn't just one or two. That was four or five. I think it was five that I saw. It was five.
Yeah.
That was very, very unusual. Oh, I love that. The way we have our experiences and how it just reinforces what we're all going through and how we're connected.
Right? It's so beautiful. In fact, one of my mentors that same week posted, he had gotten a sleeve. His name's Andy Bing. He's in England, or he's in Canada now, but he's from England. He had a whole sleeve made of tattoos. And I happened to be looking at his. He posted something about it in tribute to a loved one. And sure enough, he turns his arm and there's a full deer on his arm. And I thought, this is my week. Calder's letting me know. He's always so present. But I'll tell you the difference between my experience and the fact that I totally didn't understand this world before my life changed forever and that old Carla disappeared and this one came to be. I was so far away from believing any of this that when I started to meet other mothers, other parents who had lost their children, they had a belief system where they were like, oh, I knew my child wasn't gone. I promised my child I would go into the universe and find him. Like my friend Eliza, whose son Caleb, she was like, we always had this understanding. I told him no matter what, if he left me, I would find him. And I was like, that is an incredible belief system, but I didn't have it. But the absolute reverse of that happened to me. I didn't understand this could happen. And Calder did everything he could to make sure I found this way. He sent me signs. He made sure Chris had a reading. He made sure I went to that crazy, like, undercover medium convention and met that group of people. Like, it has been him pulling me along. Because I'm a late bloomer. I just didn't know. And so it has been truly humbling to know that your loved ones will always be there for you. It's beautiful. And I will say the other thing people say to me now that I do readings for them, they'll say, Carla, I used to get all these signs and now I feel like my loved one isn't around me anymore. I don't get the signs. And I always say to them, you know, in the beginning, you'll get tons of signs because they are helping you with your healing journey. They want to make sure you know that they are still with you, that you are loved, that they can be around you. And they're not leaving you. It's just like I always say it's kind of like when you, if you have a really bad accident, you have to do physical therapy. It's a slow process, right? You go every day. So you get a sign every day while you're limping along. You get this little pick-me-up every day. And then as you learn to walk again, you don't really need the physical therapist anymore. But if you do need it, if you need to go back, or if you really want a sign from your loved one, you have to ask for it. You have to say, I need this. Now, if you're having a really bad day and you're like in a deep depression, 9 times out of 10, they will give you a sign because they want to lift you up. They don't want you to fall back into that. But it's that love. It's all on a vibration of love. And if you're doing okay, it's not that they're not with you, because they're watching, they're checking in, but they're just not going to bombard you with signs at that point, because it's, you know, you're doing good. You're on your healing journey.
All right.
They don't want you to be sad.
So I need to ask the question, and that is, thank you for answering that, because I've heard that before too. People are concerned that they're not getting the signs anymore. So Carla, so you have this background as a television producer. You have this Emmy. That's very cool. Now you're a medium. So you've done a complete shift in your world here as a result of the spiritual awakening. I'm sure you would say it was a spiritual awakening of this experience that you have with Calder and your family and your community. How did you become a medium?
Oh, well, it is a completely different path, isn't it? So it's funny though that you brought up laughter before, because from a very small child, I always knew what I wanted. I wanted to be a writer and I wanted to make people laugh. Wow. So I really pursued that, and I did end up getting a lot of great jobs in Los Angeles, New York and Los Angeles. I worked for Judge Judy, which is no laughing matter, but
nope.
She was very much the person you see on TV, but okay. She was an amazing woman.
Yeah.
But, and then I really wanted to get into comedy, and I did, and I was very fortunate, and I ended up being on a show on Comedy Central where the staff won, we all won Emmys for that year. It was a show called Win Ben Stein's Money. I mean, this is back, way back in the olden days, but it was an amazing experience. So I did realize this, Lisa, because I was thinking about you and doing this podcast, and I was like, when I decide I want to do something, I was like, I'm going to do it. So I decided at a young age I was going to be a writer. I became a writer. Chris and I started our own business. I wasn't really a writer. I was more of a manager when we were running our own business. And after this happened, and I had this horrible tragedy with Calder, And then I had these experiences with mediums, and I thought, I need to know how they do that. Like, I want, if there's one thing I want to do before I die, I want to be the person helping someone who's in grief connect with their loved one. I wonder if I could learn how to do that. And because of the way the universe works, I started reading and reading and reading, and people talked about workshops, and COVID happened. And here I was sitting in my garage, and Suzanne Giesman, I think it was her first class on the Shift Network, how to be a medium or something like that. And my girlfriend Eliza called me, and our girlfriend Sarah, her girlfriend, now my girlfriend, another medium, and we all took the class. And we were like, wait a minute, you can learn to be a medium? And it turns out it's a faculty. Like, you can learn to play the piano, right? You can learn Reiki. Like, I also learned how to do Reiki. You can learn this, but there's this whole mythology about mediumship, which goes way back. I feel like it goes back to the Bible, like the Witch of Endor. It goes back to the myths, the Oracle of Delphi, where it's like this magic person on a mountain or this magic woman hidden in a cave, and they were born this way and they can see. Or Jacob in the Technicolor. Well, that's the play. But Jacob.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Like, everybody, it's just been this belief system that you have to be born that way. And I have so many friends now, like, you think of this mystical, magical gift, and some people are born and they know immediately. Laurelin Jackson, Rosie Shapiro, they're just born and they know that's their path, and it's mm-hmm. accepted in their family. Lucky for them. So they can just keep pursuing it. But for other people, we have to sit down at the piano and pluck out the notes and figure out what does it mean and how do I do that? And luckily, there are mentors now and teachers and practice circles. And if you really want it and you're able to, I'm going to say the word, meditate.
I love to meditate, so it's okay with me.
Okay. A lot of people are like, oh, meditate.
No, I know, yeah.
You can learn to be a medium. I mean, it's not like, it's still a mystical and sacred faculty. I feel mm-hmm. like I don't take it for granted. I'm still very serious. If I sit down with someone, I want them to know this comes from love and it's for your highest good. And it's not about that $100 bill. It's not about that. It's about raising everyone's vibration and love and making sure people are okay, taking care of each other and taking care of our loved ones who have crossed if they want to be able to communicate. But we don't always trust that. So mm-hmm. to be able to go to someone and have the experience opens us up a little bit more. For me, it's been about a 5 or 6 year learning process and training. But I had the time to go at it full force every single day. I mean, the musical instrument is the best analogy because it's something you have to keep up with and stay in tune and make sure that you're not letting it get rusty.
That's what I love about what you're sharing here. It's so in line with the belief system that I like to share on this podcast. It's the message that comes forth through spirit. It's really about us doing our own work, whether it's the inner child, clearing out that. I like to use the windshield analogy where if the windshield is really dirty, how much light is allowed to come through? And the more that we work on ourselves, the more that we take different classes or work with people such as yourself, Carla, it helps us to open up to the greater wisdom that we all have within us. And that overall connection, as we do that, we are helping to raise the vibrational frequency. We're healing our ancestral patterns, generational patterns, as we're healing ourselves. And because we're all energetic beings, we're all a part of this energetic collective, it is absolutely raising the vibrational frequency for the collective. So mediumship is such a beautiful healing journey that a person can take. And of course, when you get a reading with a medium, of course, you know, you want to get a referral, get somebody. And you work with VeriSoul, right? Isn't that where you get your bookings? Can you explain a little bit about what VeriSoul is?
Yeah, so VeriSoul is pretty incredible. Well, first of all, I agree with Lisa. Forever Family Foundation, Helping Parents Heal, they have medium lists and they verify these people through a double blind process or triple That's blind. Right. Like, it's very stringent. They won't just let anyone be a medium. And the same thing, so I work with VeriSoul, and VeriSoul has a different approach where they have mediums and you have to go through levels. Like, first you're just reading for other mediums, and then you read for people who have volunteered. Like, if you want to be a volunteer to get readings every week or so on, then you practice with those people, and then you do donated sessions, which is, this is the incredible thing. The woman who started Very Soul is so altruistic. Every medium does free readings, and they're called donated sessions. And so if you sign up at Very Soul, your first reading is free. On this platform, there's a very low cost option because it's very much about putting this out into the world. But it's an amazing website, and you can try it out for free the first time. And then you can decide, oh, maybe I don't need another one. Or maybe 2 years from now, you're like, oh, I would love to get in touch with that medium again. And you can. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You brought a couple other pictures. We talked about deer earlier. Can we share some more of these signs here that you have? Oh my gosh, a heart-shaped nose on this deer.
Yes. So I just loved this. So we went to Japan over the summer. My son is obsessed with anime and Japan, and I love everything Japanese. And I read about this park, Nara Park. And it is a park where they have the largest Buddha statue, I think, in the world. And at this park, they let these deer live there. And it's like they run around and you can interact with the deer. And this one came up to me with this heart-shaped nose. And I was like, oh my gosh, somebody take a picture.
Of course, it has a heart on it.
I know, it was so cute. But they consider the deer a messenger between the spirit world and this world. So they take good care of the deer. And it's just kind of an incredible park. And I thought, I had that amazing experience. I'm sure Calder will be there. I asked him to send me a dragonfly too, because I was being like, oh, I want to really know your All right. I forgot to send you that picture, but I have an amazing also picture of a dragonfly that landed right next to me. And I mean, it's chaotic there. There's deer everywhere. There's tourists everywhere. It's just like, and sure enough, I'm sitting there like being quiet for a minute and this dragonfly lands right next to me. It was beautiful. Japan's magical.
That is very magical. Gosh, I love that picture. Okay, now you have another picture here, 2007 Penny. Did you say there was a story behind this one too?
Oh my God, this is an incredible story. Speaking of connections, so Laura Lynn Jackson is writing another book, and one of the moms who was interviewed for that book reached out to me on Facebook. She said, oh, I just read your story about the deer, and we became like, you know, chat buddies. She's, of course, so lovely. And I did another podcast called Heroes of Grief with a dad from Helping Parents Heal.
Yep.
And I posted it on my whatever social media. And she messaged me and she goes, oh my God, you're not going to believe what just happened. She's like, wait a second. And then she like took a picture of this penny and sent it to me. She said, I was listening to your podcast and I was thinking about Calder, and I looked down, and there was this penny there, and I looked at the date on it. Carla, it's his birth year. His birth year is 2007, isn't it? And then she left the chat again, and she's like looking it up. And it is. That is Calder's birth year. So she was walking in the park, listening to the podcast of me talking about Calder. And look down. Now we know I have a thing with pennies, right? We just established that.
Yes.
So she was like, can you believe that? And she knew, like she felt his presence and knew that that would be his birth year when she looked it up. But we were so like, it's just once you're open to it, it never stops being magical and unbelievable. Even when it's happening, it's just so beautiful.
Well, I love the beauty that you have in this picture. Yeah. I just, the stones, I know the stones have some meaning. Can you talk to us a little bit about this for those who are watching on YouTube?
This is the cemetery spot for Calder. And my husband designed this because I was checked out at that time, but he wanted to make it the most beautiful spot in the cemetery. And it's a little outside the Jewish tradition of being flashy, but everything's very somber there. But, you know, he was seven. He's a seven-year-old.
Yes, like, I love it.
And so we have this tradition. For years, we painted rocks on his crossing date. And so in the Jewish tradition, you leave a rock as a calling card on the headstone when you visit someone at the cemetery. You don't do live flowers or plants, which we also broke that rule, because they'll die eventually and the rock will stay there.
Okay.
And so it's like a tradition to leave that when you go. Or, you know, over the years, we change these traditions. We have a friend who's a pilot and he leaves. You can see in the back there, he left little cards from his airplane. We have another friend, a couple, who are also pilots because my husband's airline obsessed. And the cemetery's close enough to the airport where the planes fly over the cemetery. And when they were still flying, they would tip their wing to Calder when they flew by. I mean, the people we've met are so incredible and loving and beautiful. Obviously, it's the most horrible thing to go through. And yes. You know, you can, in this life, you can choose to give up or you can choose to do something with it. And it took me a while to get there, but I'm all in. I'm just going to keep doing this, keep doing readings for people, get my book out there, and hopefully be able to help as many people who have to face this kind of grief. And let them know it's not the end of your life. Your loved ones don't want you to waste your life being incapacitated. This is it. Like, without getting into reincarnation, this is the one life you get to really enjoy. Make the most of it. And believe me, when you get there to the other side and your loved ones are there to embrace you, they'll be proud of you for not giving in to the grief and not just giving up, because there's so much you can do here.
Thank you, Carla. That's such a powerful message and one that we can all learn from. So thank you for sharing that. Before we close out today, how can people get a hold of you? What if they want to book a reading or learn more about your organization? What's the best way to reach you?
I have a website, carlasloan.net. And our foundation is CC Awesome Foundation, which stands for Caleb and Calder Sloan's Awesome Foundation, because we wanted both boys represented. And we do a lot of events. And our biggest legacy fund right now is at the Experience Camps, which is a camp for children in grief who've lost a sibling, a parent, someone really close to them. And they created this amazing camp where the kids can go for a week and talk about grief, but also have an amazing camping experience. Like, go swimming, be with other kids, like get out of the grief for a minute.
Thank you. I will put all the information in the show notes. Carla, thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Your journey, your spiritual awakening, how you went from point A to point B, and it's just continues to evolve. Such an inspiration. And we are so appreciative that you came here today to share that with us. And I look forward to reading your book. And when it comes out, I hope you'll come back and join us so we can talk about your beautiful book.
My pleasure. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. And please remember, for those of you that are listening, thank you so much for joining us and listening. Please consider liking and subscribing and following this podcast. And as always, please remember, we are fully supported, we are fully protected, and we are fully loved. Thank you so much. Love and blessings.